Hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast. Oh, a good one for you today. I pray you'll stay tuned. Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we get into the word, and then we'll take it from there. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, I thank you for this another opportunity to bring forth your word, Lord, in a way that people will understand it, in a way, Lord, that will bring glory to you in some measure, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the ears of those who listen in, Lord, will be well unstopped, Lord, and that as the word goes forth, they'll be encouraged and be glad that they listened in. And I want to thank you, the fine people here at the Just Jesus Radio Network, for allowing me to be a part of their Saturday morning lineup. Thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, now, the title I've given my message is, well, it's kind of an obvious thought, seek and find. Seek and find. Ooh, search and locate. Pretty good, huh? Oh, I just the beginning. Okay. Now, excuse me. Those old frogs, they keep coming back, I'll tell you. They bug me. The older I get, the more frogs I seem to have to tend with. But anyway, that's fine. I don't mind at all. I don't mind if you don't. Okay. The title I've given my message, like I said, is Seek and Find. Now, it's kind of like akin to, one of our favorite childhood games, Seek and You Shall Find. Do you recall what that game is? That's right. Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek. I think every kid used to play hide and seek when they were young, when they were a kid. Well, I do. I remember quite well. It was one of our favorite games because any number of people could play, and also, you know, it didn't involve a whole lot of things, you know, that you needed, like a bat and a ball, for example, you know. All you needed to do was close your eyes and let everybody scatter, and then seek them. Seek and find them. And if they get in and touch the home spot where you are located right now without you touching them first, then they are winners. Okay? Seek and ye shall find. A simple game, and any number can play. Now, one person is chosen to close their eyes, or his eyes, or her eyes, and count to, well, let's say, about 20. Okay, that's fair enough, 20. And at the end, call out, ready or not, you shall be caught in your hiding place or not. Familiar? Okay. Fun, fun, fun. Yes, it was. Yes, indeed. Well, today, grown-ups will, well, we still play games, don't we? Not hide and seek, probably, but we do play games. And, you know, however, the tendency is to relive a little bit of the past sometimes. You know, I mean, I'd play hide and seek today, and I'm well up in years, but, you know, brings back memories. Yes, it does. Relive a little bit of the past. But instead of hide and seek, say, now let's, how about seek and ye shall find? Seek and ye shall find. We're going somewhere with this, aren't we? Oh, yes, we are. We've come a long way. We've come a long way. Or have we? Well, to many of us, hide and seek is pretty much parallel with seek and ye shall find, isn't it? Of course it is. Seek and ye shall find. If we look in our King James Bible, our King James Authorized 1611 Bible, and turn to 2 Chronicles, well, the answer is very clear. Let me read it for you if you don't have your Bible open. If you seek Him, this is 2 Chronicles 15 now, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. We're talking about Jesus, right? Oh, yes. Yes, seek and find. He's there waiting to be found by you. Did you know that? Now, over in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 55, here's what we read. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Ooh, you see, the Lord will not always strive with sinners, so get in there while you can, okay? That's pretty clear talking, isn't it? Oh, yes, indeed. Now, a problem arises, though. Yes, a problem arises, though, when some preacher goes to the forefront and he says that unsaved people cannot seek God because they are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And you know where they get that? You know where these types of preachers get that? From Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 2. What does it say? It tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's the natural man, isn't it? Well, the key word here is the word natural, of course, which implies unsaved. In this particular instance, the natural man, which is the unsaved man, and it makes sense. So, I say, tell us. Tell us what we don't know, okay? First of all, we must seek God to find him. Right? That makes a whole lot of sense, I'd say. We must seek God to find him. And we must do so now. Now. Or the time may come when he will not be found. In other terms, or rather in worldly terms, you snooze, you lose. You probably heard that somewhere, haven't you? You snooze, you lose. The reason it is said that man cannot seek after God, the reason is because of man's spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, I mean, that's a killer. That's the one that does you in. That's the thing that just won't let you get near to Jesus. Spiritual blindness. The reality of God to the spiritually blind is foolishness. That's to the common man. It's foolishness. Now, keep in mind, it was God who made the first move, right? When he brought forth his Son to be a propitiation for us. Thus, we have Calvary, right? And the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we are all born in spiritual blindness of some sort. None, not even the very elect, came from the womb with the full assurance and knowledge that salvation is a foregone conclusion. No. Oh, no, 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 no. And it's, you know, it's a reckless heart that shuns the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh my, yes. For therein, and there alone, lies the only way into his presence. The only way. If you don't have a heart for God, then he won't have a home for you. Have you got that? If you won't have a heart for God, then he won't have a home for you. The bottom line is, man must seek after God. Man must seek after God. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You got that? evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. In the book of Isaiah 55, verse 6, we read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Oh, yes. You know, God has filled mankind with an instinctive longing for himself. Did you know that? Yes, true. You might say, well, I don't know. I never even heard about this Jesus or this God of yours. But you know what? God has instilled within every one of us an instinctive longing for himself. You got that? He asks us to seek him out. And in so doing, guess what? Then he will reward us. He will. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Wow. "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's not too hard to understand, is it? So, the greatest barrier between you and God is what? Your pride. Your pride. And you know what the Word of God says about pride? Pride cometh before a fall. Pride cometh before a fall. You may have heard that. Paul wrote in Romans 3, "As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Well, you know, when I first heard that, you know, I felt ashamed because I thought I was doing something that God liked. But you know, unless you know God through Jesus Christ, unless you repent and are born again and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, well, we're all gone out of the way. We are together become unprofitable. There is none of us that doeth right. No, not one. Not one. Now, if we are ever to be in the presence of a holy and righteous God, we can only do so by one simple word. It's called, have you got it? Oh, yes, you do. We can only be in the presence of a holy and righteous God by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You can only get to God through His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus made the way clear when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." By him. You must have heard that many times in your life. Maybe you didn't listen to it carefully. Maybe you spit it out when you did hear it. But you know what? That's the truth. That's the way it has to be done. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. In other words, by the cross. By His precious shed blood. Did you know that God placed in mankind an instinctive longing for God, for himself? Did you know that? Every one of us upon this earth has maybe just a glimmer, or maybe a whole lot of longing that's instinctively there, present. We want to know, who is God? Where is God? What did he do? What's it mean all to me that I believe in him? See, that's an instinctive longing. God put that inside of every one of us. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you have an instinctive longing to know who God is and to know what Jesus did and why he did it? Do you have that longing? If you do, well, let me tell you, God will show you the way. God will show you the way. You see, God's not willing that any, you, me, your worst enemy, that none of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance, you know what repentance is, don't you? Repentance is you're going that way, you turn around and you go his way. That's all repentance is. A lot of people make a big howdy-do over repentance. I don't think you have to repent. I just think you have to believe in the gospel, and that's it. Well, that's most of it. But the Bible's very clear. Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Philippian jailer was told by Paul and Silas when he said, what do I have to do to be saved? They said, repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or maybe they left out repentance and said, just believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Well, when you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are repenting. Because you have to. You can't have both worlds. You can't have the world that you're living in, which is just cascading with sin and corruption. You have to, what? You have to shed it. You have to repent, turn from it, and come to Christ. That's what the repentance is all about. You know what? If we seek him, if we seek him, Jesus Christ, we will find him. We will find him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And when we reach out by faith, believing, he gives us spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. You know, consider for a moment now. Just consider for a moment. You are the first man or woman upon the earth. Okay? Like Adam. You don't know the difference between a tree and a blade of grass. You're alone. All alone. Like Adam was. Now, God didn't just plop Adam upon the earth and let him figure out what's what by himself. No. God taught him. God taught Adam. God showed Adam as you would open a picture book before a kindergarten student. There's a tree. And look over there. That's a deer running through the grass. And there's a frog. Now, the tree is steadfast. The deer, well, the deer is flighty. But, you know, deers will be flighty, won't they, if you're a hunter? And there's a frog. What? Another frog? Well, God can put as many frogs on the earth as he wants. The frog, well, he leaps around and he feeds on insects mostly that God has chosen for him. See, God didn't put us on the earth to just vanish, to fall into oblivion, to die. No, he put us here to be an example of what he wants for this world. But most of all, to worship God. To know that he is God and that he's there and he's there for you. Oh, yes. Today we need not be taught as Adam and Eve were. For the word of God is given unto us by his holy book. They didn't have a holy book, a Bible, or anything back then. They didn't have one, did they? No, of course not. God talked to Adam. Now, not like I'm talking to you through the media. No, not like I was standing in front of you talking to you. No. God talked to him. I'm not saying either that God stood next to him and face to face. No. Because no one has seen God. But God talked to him. And Adam listened. I got to add this, but you know, why not? Adam was all alone. It's nice to have someone to talk to when you're all alone, isn't it? Of course it is. Today we need not be taught as Adam and Eve. And I'm thankful for that because we have the true word of God in his holy book, the Bible. All that is required of us is to have faith and believe. To have faith and believe. Oh, that makes such a difference. I know it does for me. It did for me. We are stubborn by nature and self-centered. That's the way man is. We are blinded to spiritual truths that are considered by many foolishness. Foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." They are spiritually discerned. Seek, my friends, seek and ye shall find. God is waiting for all of us to believe in him. In him, to trust in his word, to follow his precepts, and to seek him out while he still may be found. And we do that through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That's how. No, God is not willing that any should perish. Of course not. But we have to come to repentance. Change direction. Give our lives over to him. Let him have the headship in our lives. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall open. But remember, there is only one place where the heavenly gift may be found. Are you listening? And that one place is at the foot of the cross. Oh, yes. The foot of the cross where the cleansing blood flowed from Emmanuel's veins down into the dust of Golgotha. If you're not absolutely sure of his amazing grace, look, I urge you with all my heart that you act now. For tomorrow is promised to no one. Do you realize that? Tomorrow is promised to no one. You may be going along real smooth today and everything just falling into place. And you might think, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm just going to get back in that race and I'm going to continue on. Everything's going to be fine because I got it under control. But if God's not in it, your control may be short-lived. You see, There's no point if you can't look beyond what you are experiencing right now. There's no point. And if you do look beyond, if you do trust and believe in what happened at Calvary, if you give your life over to Jesus Christ, rest assured, He will not cast you aside. Once saved, always saved, and don't let anybody tell you the difference. Anybody. I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast today. I want to thank you for taking part in it, and I pray to God Almighty that, you know, when I close this chapter today, I don't just say, well, that's it, all over, that's finished, I'm glad that's out of the way. No, I go into prayer mode, and I pray every day for the lost and perishing. You know what I pray for most of all? The little children. The little children. Every time in church when they ask what for prayer requests, I always put up my hand and say, the little children, the little children. We don't know the half of what's going on with these little children. Oh, every once in a while we get a burst through the news media. But the little children, oh, they are so precious to God. And yet they are just treated like dirt. Being molested, they're being starved, they're being killed. Have mercy on the little children. Oh, I'm so glad that you listened in, and I look forward to you listening in again next week at the same time on the same station. May God richly bless you. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, I pray. Amen and amen.